The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Detroit basketball!
And welcome into Views from the Sidelines. I'm Joey Tysik. Across from me, Malik Hill. And we actually have some Pistons news today. Breaking news. Oh, are you on a different one? Oh, geez. My bad.
Great start. Are you prepared to break the potentially the biggest news of the season?
No. So I'll let you do it.
The Detroit Pistons have traded away Kevin Knox.
Woo!
Some Pistons fans would say he's the most promising Pistons player we have, Kevin Knox. Which some people love him for some reason.
It's wild because
he had a few good games.
We all wanted him gone last year.
Yeah, and they gave away a second round pick, I think. Yippee.
Yep. And the rights to a former second round pick from 2022.
Yes, Gabriel Procida, who's looked pretty good overseas. Watch him go to Utah and become a young, really good player.
Yep. Or Utah, you say. Did we get Lauri Markkanen?
No, we didn't get him. We didn't get Jordan Clarkson.
Did we get Colin
Sexton?
He's
in his 30s. He's too old.
Oh.
We didn't get Colin Sexton. He's going to demand a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
But what we did get is a man with one of the best names in the league.
Okay.
Which is important.
Oh, yeah. That's important. You're right.
He also shoots 40% from three, which helps.
Okay. Well, that's...
Yeah. Only averages like 9 a game. He plays his role.
Okay.
He takes open shots. He's not forcing stuff, okay? Simone Fontecchio. One and only.
Great, okay.
How can you forget?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, this is another in the long line of players overseas playing for the Pistons. Ugh. We had Carlos Delfino. We had Walter Herman. Shouts out to the GOAT, Walter Herman.
Jonas Jerebko.
That long ponytail he had. Jonas Jerebko. Mehmet Okur, one of the pioneers.
Darko Milicic.
We can keep going. Now we add Simone Fontecchio to the list.
All right. I'm sure. Yeah,
There's going to be a Fontecchio fan
say,
club at the game.
He's going to be a fan favorite,
yes,
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Especially if he starts hitting some shots.
Yeah.
I mean, right on the team right now, Bogdanovich. People love him because he hits threes. He's kind of goofy, but he makes buckets. So.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, he's another role player. He'll give them production off the bench because he has played well for the Jazz this season.
Yeah.
And the Jazz are coming off a stretch of winning, like, I think they were like 14-2 in like the last 16. They've gone on a really good stretch recently.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
The other funny thing about the Pistons that I just thought of, too, is the whole Zach LaVine news. As the weeks have been rolling, there was a lot of thought in the league that the Pistons were looking to acquire Zach LaVine. And then he decided to have surgery on his ankle. Yeah. It's his ankle, right? I can't remember. His leg.
Listen, all that matters is he heard the news
and
of what was probably
it
coming.
It was optional surgery.
Yeah.
So that tells you
shut
probably,
down.
You know, his agent probably was like, hey, you know, Pistons are looking at you. He's like, okay, let's get surgery.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the heck the Pistons are going to try to do for the trade deadline. At this point, I'm almost at the point, let's just not do anything, even though apparently now, too, there's been rumors that Killian Hayes wants out. Okay, that's fine. we want you out, too.
What league, where have we come where Killian Hayes, first of all, has a camp that probably put this news out?
Right.
And secondly,
he wants out.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Go.
Right.
Go back to France. You're probably a good kid. You're probably a good person.
Yeah.
Just go home and get your mind right. Go put up 25 in a French league.
Yeah.
Get your confidence back.
That's a good
point,
though.
Dante Exum left and came back, and he's more confident and a better player than he was when he first got in the NBA.
Yeah.
Killian Hayes could try the same strategy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even just a change of scenario or scenery.
Yeah.
But I don't know. At this point, we can't. We can't talk about this team.
We got Fontecchio, ladies and gentlemen. We got him.
Yeah. If anything happens at the trade deadline, we'll talk about it. But again, we're saving most of our Pistons talk till the end of the season, where we're going to try to get Chris on. And
a good dive. State of the Union where we let him rip,
right.
Let him go.
However, the fun part about the NBA right now is we are getting ready for the All-Star game. All-Star game itself, not that exciting. The All-Star weekend, more of what I look forward to.
It's still, it doesn't hit the same.
No, it doesn't. But do you think
the 3-point shootout is basically like the most exciting thing left at this point?
But do you think, so I was thinking about this when we talked earlier, but do you think that it's more of like a nostalgia thing, or do you think it's just actually not as good as it once was?
I think it's not as good as it once was. I think the NBA doesn't know how to handle this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, All-Star Weekend is just marketable by itself. I think that's what they think at this point.
Yeah.
So they don't put in, like, the creative ideas and time that they used to.
Right.
Like, I still watch the dunk contest. Last year, I was excited because I've been a Mac McClung truther for a long time.
Right.
And he won the contest as I expected he would, and he's back.
Yep.
And they got some other dudes that'll probably do some really nice dunks, so I'll be watching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the excitement just isn't there anymore. Like, before we started this, we were talking about the Shooting Stars Challenge, I think is what it used to be called.
Yeah.
Where each team that they selected got a legend of their franchise, a current, like, all-star top player, and a WNBA player in the same city. And they went from area to area hitting shots, and it ended with a half-court shot.
Yep.
I used to be excited to watch that.
Right. And it usually came down to the half-court shot.
Yeah.
And funny enough, a lot of the times it was like either the WNBA or the Legends player that would hit that half-court shot. So, yeah, they need to figure something out. And I don't know what it is at this point. Because obviously, like, the stars aren't going to come out. They haven't in years, and that's kind of been a lot of the problem.
The stars come out for three-point shooting.
Yeah, true.
You can still get guys for that.
Yeah.
But for the dunk contest, it seems like it's dead and gone.
Yeah. And then,
I mean, All-Star, Jaylen Brown is an All-Star.
The Rising players, Rising Stars Challenge is pretty fun. Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren are going to be in that. So that's usually somewhat competitive because it's some young guys that are trying to fight for spots sometimes. For me, actually, I like the celebrity game a lot, depending on who's going
to
be there.
It's another thing I used to like a lot.
Yeah.
They used to get some, like, really high-level celebrities.
Right.
Now they got like three Peloton instructors. They got, look, serious. They were
Mr.
like,
Beast, probably.
There were three Peloton instructors last year.
I haven't looked it up.
And I was so confused about what was happening. I didn't understand it. Like those, I don't know, man. Maybe so. Celebrity hasn't changed. They're just picking horrible people. So shouts out to the Peloton instructors. But this,
I did forget that they did.
Like Justin Timberlake and Brian McKnight used to go back and forth in these games.
Justin Bieber, Kevin Hart. Although I didn't like when they started doing Kevin Hart.
He won like four straight of them of the MVP, so it got kind of old. But yeah, like let's keep the level of celebrity up like it used to be.
Wait, that can't be right. Who is that? Sorry, I'm looking up the players on this year's celebrity game.
I saw someone that was, I completely forgot who I saw the other day. That's how much I don't care anymore.
But
I have to, is the list up?
Yeah, anymore? I'm going to read it in a second, but I was really confused because right away in the first name that I got is Jennifer Hudson, but it's not Jennifer Hudson who you'd think it would be. The youngest female EGOT, which to me, that seems like Europe's. No, what is that? What is EGOT?
You got?
Yeah.
That's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Shows you how cultured I am.
I know some pop
culture.
So
I guess.
Is it Jennifer? So
then it has
probably
to be,
is Jennifer Hudson, yes.
And it has to be. I was so for me, for some reason, my brain was thinking of like America's Got Talent or something like that. Wow, that's funny. Oh, wait. Okay.
Oh,
wait a minute. So if it's Jennifer Hudson, I don't know if she's any good.
She'll
or
just
not.
Be out there probably.
NBA champion. Meta World Peace.
Yes.
NFL superstars, Micah Parsons.
Okay.
And CJ Stroud.
CJ probably has a nice jumper.
And then we have IndyCar Series racer Connor Daly. Okay. Don't know who he is. Grammy Award nominated recording artists, AJ McLean, Walker Hayes.
They always throw a country singer and like a Latin Grammy winner in there.
And then Sir
Sir is an R&B artist that is very good. Okay. People should look into him. Sir is very good.
I've never heard of him, so I'll take a look.
He's from California. He's not like very famous, but yeah.
And then we got Grammy Award nominated musician Adam Blackstone. Don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Emmy Award winning entertainer Lily Singh.
She's a, she was a social media comedian.
Okay. I think I know who that is.
She was on YouTube.
Actors Dylan Wang and Quincy Isaiah.
Quincy Isaiah played Magic.
Really?
Yeah. That's who I saw. Okay. That could be interesting if he can actually play.
Okay.
Because he's tall.
Okay.
And he looks good in the show. Oh, I don't know who the other person is.
Here it goes. Streamer Kai Cenat.
That's not a surprise. That's all.
And then content creator Tristan Jass.
He has a nice crossover. Actually plays basketball sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
He has some skills, so I don't hate him.
I don't love his game, but...
Was that just one team?
And then we got basketball entertainer Jack Ryan and James Beard award-winning chef Kwame Anwuachi.
There's always one person that you don't know that can actually play.
There's probably got to be a couple more people because I think the teams are usually kind of
big. It sounded like you just listed one team.
Yeah. We got Olympic high jump champion Gianmarco Tamberi. I remember him.
Let's see him dunk.
I think he was the one that got the tie in the Olympics last time around. I think. Latin American music award winning recording artist.
Exactly.
Anuel. AA. It's their second celebrity game.
There's always a Latin artist and a country artist. And then there's always two of those.
Each team will also feature a WNBA star.
Yeah, that's the usual. There's always two legends.
And
too.
Right now they Meadows have there. Jewel Lloyd and Natasha Cloud.
Okay.
And it looks like those are all the players. The coaches are almost more interesting than the teams. The coaches, it's Team Shannon versus Team Stephen A.
Okay.
So
their yelling and shouting is going to be more pronounced than the game.
So Team Shannon is Shannon Sharp, along with his assistant coaches Peyton Manning.
Oh boy.
And 50 Cent.
That's gonna be entertaining.
And you know they typed out Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
And so they have Micah Parsons on their team as the only.
I don't know if he can play basketball at all.
I don't know either.
Miles Garrett was in Cleveland dunking on everybody.
Right.
And I don't know what Micah can do.
DK Metcalf was dunking on everybody too. But and then Coach Stephen A, his assistants are Asia Wilson and Lil Wayne.
That's going to be hilarious. I'm tuning in for that. Just for entertainment value, I'm there.
But they have Meta World Peace and CJ Stroud, along with Tristan Jass. Their team just seems a little better. But you never know. There can always be the former defense secretary of the U.S. that
I think
played
he's
college
done,
ball.
But he is a baller.
No, I know, but I'm just saying there's always that one guy that you don't expect that could maybe do something.
Come on, let's get Barack Obama. We haven't seen him in a while. He can shoot with the lefty a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some higher caliber people.
Right. So that's your celebrity game.
Celebrities are decent. Better than last year, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of hit or miss, of course. And then the 2024 Panini Rising Stars, that's who's sponsoring it this year. We got Team Pau Gasol. So they keep changing this, because then they did the World versus the U.S. a couple times, and they used to do Rookies versus Sophomores.
Rookies versus Sophomores is how it always should be.
This one is four teams.
So that's how they. Oh, yeah.
Is
that's
that what
how
they did last year? Yeah.
They did knockout rounds.
A quick tournament where you go to a certain score.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Team Pau, which has Victor Wembanyama, Brandon Miller, Brandon Podziemski, Jaime Jaquez, Jabari Smith, Kaysen Wallace, and Bilal Coulibaly.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to have any real reaction to any of these rosters. All I have to say is it should still be rookie sophomore.
Well, we need to root for Team Tamika because we have Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Keegan Murray, Scoot Henderson, Keontae George, and Dyson Daniels.
I'll root for the Pistons players.
And then we have Team Jalen, which is Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, Ben Mathurin, Shaden Sharp, Derek Lively, Jordan Hawkins, and Walker Kessler. That's a pretty good squad, actually. And then Team Detlef. Oh, these are all G League guys. Izan Almansa, Modest Buzelis.
The G League team is terrible this year, Ron Holland, I don't expect them to be.
Mac McClung, Tyler Smith, Oscar Tshiebwe, and Alondis Milt Williams.
Just give the ball to Mac and Buzelis.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to compete.
Ron Holland is like the one of the highest ranked out of those out of that group, him and Buzelis. So I guess
interesting.
We'll see what happens.
The skills contest is apparently up in the air. I still can't find it. They don't have like exactly what the game is going to entail.
I'm not watching it.
Okay. But it sounds like there's going to be a team. Like they're going back to doing a team. I guess it could be similar to last year where they did like the passing thing as a team and they get certain points. They're probably going to do something like
I'm
that.
I'm going to be honest. I'm
making it mini games.
Who was in it last year?
I don't remember. They had the team, the like rookie team though, with like Paolo, Jabari. Did Cade do it? I can't remember.
This sounds like you're making this up.
Maybe.
It sounds like something that happened in 2K.
I'm pretty sure they did something like that, though.
You could be right. I don't know.
Okay, on to the main events. The three-point challenge. We also have the like side three-point challenge. I don't know when that's going to happen.
I don't know either.
Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu. I think that's what most people are going to be locked into. How do you feel about that? Finally having an NBA versus WNBA contest.
I'm excited to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they talked about it last year. People started thinking about the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It really won't tell who's the Steph is like right. The greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah.
Even if I have some friends that say if Sabrina wins, it's scripted. I don't know. I'm excited to watch it.
Supposedly, I don't know how it's going to go down, but supposedly originally they were both going to shoot from their respective lines, the NBA and WNBA line. They're also going to use their respective balls, the NBA and the WNBA ball, separately so that it's somewhat of an even playing field. But then people called it out for not being even because WNBA is closer, whatever. So then Sabrina said she'll shoot from the NBA line. So I'm curious if she's going to do that or not. Either way, I do feel like this could be one of those scenarios, though, where Steph Curry just says he's not losing and he just goes crazy. Could be. Or he might be too amped up. I don't know. That'll be fun as kind of a side little gig. I think they're both donating like charity or something like that. So that should be cool. The actual three-point contest is featuring Malik Beasley, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, Tyrese Maxey, and Donovan Mitchell.
I'm not sure why Jalen Brunson is in there. He's not one of the best three-point shooters in the league.
Yeah, but he has his nights, though. So, like, in this kind of contest.
He does heat up sometimes, but.
Maybe get going. I mean,
like Dante DiVincenzo is like more of the shooter on the team.
Why is Malik Beasley in this? You can always say that though.
I mean, all he does is shoot threes, so
yeah,
I can see why he's in it.
Who do you think wins?
I wouldn't
this?
Have put Malik Beasley in it though.
Who do you think would win this?
I
think the favorite's probably Dame.
I'm going Halliburton.
I think it might be Donovan Mitchell.
Every time it leaves Halliburton's fingers. And that weird release happens. It just looks like it's going in. Every single, like, and it rarely ever touches the rim when he hits threes. I don't know why his release is so accurate.
Yeah.
But it just works. Mm-hmm. And when he's in the zone, he can hit from anywhere.
Yeah.
And it looks effortless.
Lauri Markkanen could be another sneaky one. Because usually, like, the bigger guys who have the higher release don't take as much energy. Sometimes they can win. Because this takes up a lot more energy than I think people realize.
It'd be fun if they had in his brand new, newly minted Pistons jersey, Fontecchio in the three-point shootout. 40% three-point shooter, ladies and gentlemen.
His premier Pistons debut.
Yeah. He goes out there and finishes last place. 5 threes for Simone Fontecchio. Or he wins and his hypes and people hype it up.
That just reminds me of back when Brandon Inge was in the home run derby. You remember that? Did you watch baseball back then?
I used to watch the home run derby all the time, but I can't remember.
So the Tigers player, Brandon Inge, he was also like a fan favorite. He had like 28 home runs or something at the time. And he was like one of the home run leaders that year, which was kind of an anomaly for him. He got in the home run derby and hit zero, something like that. And this was the old rules when you got like 10 outs or whatever. It wasn't timed, but he had 10 swings and misses. It was so disappointing. So yeah. I think I lean towards Donovan Mitchell, but like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Laurie did something. And then we got the dunk contest. Everybody's favorite contest out of, I would say out of all the All-Star events, whether
it used to be people's favorite contest.
Yes. Yeah. That's where I was getting to. The NFL, NHL, everything. The dunk contest was always like the premier event, and that's what everybody strived to get to. Not so much anymore. We talk about it every year. But your contest players this year, Jacob Toppin, Jaylen Brown. Okay, okay. Some name value there. Mac McClung, former winner. People know he's a good dunker. And Jaime Jaquez, who surprisingly, like we said, has some bounce to him.
Yeah.
So, not too exciting lineup, even though, you know, it's cool to see some of the young guys these days, but Jaylen Brown being the highest star power. I don't know what Jaylen Brown has.
Have you never watched a mixtape of, like, Jaylen Brown in college or high school?
I mean, like, I've seen some of the old, like, college stuff.
I've seen him easily, like, 360 between the legs. Like, yeah. Two dribbles, nothing.
I would say,
like, he can do almost any dunk if he wants to.
I would say if he could just dunk with his left hand, that would prove a lot of people wrong. That would be great. That would be hilarious.
He's dunked with his left hand multiple times.
Sure, yes.
I don't know why I'm defending him so hard. But listen, I'm taking Mac again.
Yeah.
If Mac McClung is in anything, I'm taking him as the winner, and I'm riding with him.
I think he just has the most creativity at this point.
Yeah.
And, like, again, he's like the G League guy that they're allowing to get into dunk contest, and he's got something to prove. Like, this is his time to shine. All these other guys, well, maybe Jacob Toppin maybe has some stuff to prove, but, like, Jaime Jaquez has already had a really good rookie season. Jaylen Brown's been a multiple time All-Star at this point. I don't know if there's the drive for those guys.
Yeah, I've also, there are clips of Jacob Toppin. Like, his head is right at the rim every time he jumps.
Yeah.
And he does some crazy stuff, like in warm-ups and practices.
How tall is he?
I think he's like 6'9".
Okay. So he's like right on that verge of almost being too tall.
He's like just like right under his brother, because Obi is like close to 6'10".
And see,
he's like 6'9". 6'8".
What, didn't you and Chris like Obi Toppin's dunk contest when he did it?
Yeah. It was really good.
Because I didn't love it, and I think it was just from an aesthetic point.
To me, it was like what Amari Stoudemire's dunk contest should have been when he was in it.
Okay.
But, like, Steve Nash was doing a lot of the heavy working with his passes.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Obi Toppin was doing some creative stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. Am I interested in the All-Star Weekend? A little bit, but I'm not sold on it. Like, if I have other plans, I might think about those other plans, unfortunately. But I don't know. Do you look forward to the All-Star Weekend at all anymore?
Same, just a little bit. Just, like I said, the three-point shootout, I'm there for it. The celebrity game is entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Plus, that's usually, like, Friday night, I think, late, so.
I thought it's Saturday night.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it before everything?
The Rising Stars
is Friday.
Celebrity game is Thursday night, I think.
Oh, Thursday.
Or it's before the Rising Stars game.
I think it might be before.
I think it's Celebrity game, then Rising Stars on Friday.
Okay.
And then the main event stuff Saturday.
That sounds right. Yeah. And then the All-Star game on Sunday, which nobody cares about at all.
Adding the target score made it a little bit competitive.
Yeah. And they're going back to an East and West game, right? I think this is the first year they're going back to that. They're not doing I don't think they're doing a draft. They're just doing East and West, which I kind of like. But anyway, that's enough NBA talk. That's the most NBA talk you'll get out of us for a while, till we maybe get to the playoffs. College basketball. Like I keep saying, every week, ramping up the talk more and more and more. And this past weekend had some good college basketball. UCF knocked somebody off again, which is funny. They're still only, are they like two games above 500 or something like that?
Yeah.
So they're a team to apparently be watching out for. Malik's Aztecs getting back into the top 25, looking pretty good right now. And then Malik's other team, Michigan Wolverines, continue.
My other team is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I forgot.
But we can talk about Michigan if you'd like.
I just want to hear, like, I know we keep going over it, and we'll slowly dwindle away from it as the season rolls along, but like, what? Like, where does this team go? I know we keep saying, like, fire Juwan, but at this point, like, there needs, like, a culture shift in the program at this point.
Michigan is the worst it's been since they were playing under sanctions in the early 2000s. That's how bad this team is.
They are the bottom of the Big Ten.
And it's even worse to me because they're talent. They have enough talent. If John Beilein coached this team, they would make the tournament.
Yeah.
They're talented enough to make the tournament. But they don't do anything very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can never be good enough consistently on offense. Their defense is terrible. It's clear that they just don't have a connection as a team. And Juwan Howard is making it clear with quotes that a coach going out soon would make,
mm-hmm.
saying stuff like, I wish we had more guys that cared.
Yeah.
You recruited them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are your guys. The first few years when you had Beilein guys, you didn't have that problem.
Right.
Because they already knew what the program was, and they knew how to play basketball and how to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have all your guys, and they just don't know how to play basketball, and they don't care.
Yeah.
So, pretty good sign right there. Yeah, they need another Beilein type of shift.
Mm-hmm.
Where a guy comes in, and from top to bottom, just changes every way the program is run.
Because
mm-hmm. Tommy Amaker had Michigan at like a below average to average level before John Beilein came in and completely turned things around.
Right.
And it took him like 2 to 3 years
mm-hmm.
to like get on track.
And then with that like program, like they rotated guys out constantly because they were starting to get guys that would get drafted pretty often, but they would just reload.
Yeah, like, John Beilein was all about development.
Mm-hmm.
He was he had those classes like the Mitch McGarry, Glenn Robinson. They mm-hmm. were like high 4-star guys.
Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway. Like,
yeah, but Trey Burke wasn't a 4-star
true.
Guy.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And
I get. Oh yeah.
Karis LeVert wasn't.
Yeah.
Nick Stauskas came out of Canada, and most people didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
He developed players
right.
that he knew fit into a system and had talent,
mm-hmm.
and he was great at projecting.
Yeah.
And he got the best out of guys every single class he had. Juwan doesn't know how to do that. He just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects on the court.
Yep.
And now
they get to play Wisconsin tonight.
Yeah. And I hope it gets ugly. I hope they lose by 50. I hope things fall apart. And Ward Manuel has to make a decision immediately.
Yeah.
I don't think it could take as long as it took John Beilein to get the program turned around because they were coming off some really dark years. This is like the bottom in the past 20, 30 years. But people know like the Michigan brand.
Mm.
People have seen what Michigan basketball was in the past decade or so. It shouldn't take much for a very good coach to come here and get things on track.
Right.
Like, you see what Lamont Paris is doing at South Carolina right now. He doesn't have any superstar players. People assume they would finish bottom three in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked top 15 right now, and he has them rolling just because he's a very good basketball coach.
Right.
And he knows how to build a basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan needs that again. A guy with experience, a guy that knows how to build a program and get things on track. And just coach a good basketball team.
Yeah.
And a good program. Like, Michigan fans aren't asking for much. Like, we know, like, getting another Beilein is close to impossible. Like, he was the best that Michigan could get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a guy that can consistently make some good basketball. I'm saying it over and over again.
Just being the top half of the Big Ten.
That's what I'm saying. Like, can we get a guy that can finish like consistently top 5 or 6 in the Big Ten
mm-hmm.
and not hit these bottoms?
Yeah.
Like, can we become what Northwestern has become, which is crazy to say,
right?
But good for Northwestern. They're like top 6-ish
mm-hmm.
in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
With what they've become as a program.
And
who knows if they'll stick there for a long time.
Right.
But that's what they've been in the past 2-3 years.
And as we've seen, like, they're being them being top 6, they already beat Purdue, and they almost knocked Purdue off again.
Yeah.
So, like, being top 6 is no knock in the Big Ten. Like,
everybody that steps into Northwestern's program knows they have to learn the culture, but they know what it is.
Yeah.
Once they get going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's smart basketball. It's moving. It's cutting. It's hard, like, defense. it's principles that every player in the program knows they have to go by.
Yeah.
Michigan doesn't have that right now. There's no culture. There are no principles. There's no identity.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to find it again.
Yeah. And then as we always talk about, on the other side, Michigan State, more just roller coaster of a season. Every time, literally every time it feels like they get momentum, they just blow it somehow.
I didn't even check the finish from last night, then losing to Minnesota by three.
So they beat Michigan, obviously, a couple weeks ago.
Who would have had Minnesota being better than Michigan State on their bingo card this year?
Michigan State beat Maryland by 9, so you're like, okay, they're beating the teams they're supposed to. And then Minnesota comes in and they beat Michigan State by 3.
Hey.
In an ugly one, I know.
I don't know if you noticed.
I did. Cam Christie. 5 threes.
11 points a game. 41% from 3.
Yeah.
5 threes against Michigan State. He wasn't even as highly ranked as his brother Max.
No.
But, hey, another Christie hitting threes in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Just and against, he's starting for Minnesota right now.
Yeah, and then Izzo had to watch that probably.
That had to hurt for Michigan State fans watching that.
Yep. And now they're going to play Illinois in a couple days here.
Yeah, this isn't a recipe for, like, long-term success this season. Like, no. Tyson Walker, we all know he has to play well for them to win.
Mm-hmm.
But 8 of 18, 20 points, like,
yeah,
that's not what you want. Yeah, Jaden Akins, 11 shots, 16 points. He was efficient. But yeah, the rest of the starting five, 6 points, 2 points, 4 points.
Yep.
Off the bench, 2 points, 4 points, 2 points.
And that's what we keep saying. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, all of a sudden, like, Malik Hall had a good game against Maryland. And then against Minnesota, he gets 4 shots. Like, what is the consistency there?
So at this point, I would like to, like, talk to Tom Izzo. Like, these players have been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
And they have the same patterns they had when they first got here.
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen?
Right. A.J. Hoggard turned back into what I knew him as.
He had a few games where he hit, like, 4 and 5 threes in the past 2 weeks.
Everybody last year loved him because he had some big games down the stretch, played good in the tournament. I've always hated him. Nothing personal. Just didn't like his style. And I liked his game in the tournament. What happened to that? That is why he came back. And he's just been a shell of himself. Same with Jaden Akins. It's just, oh.
Jaden Akins is better than he was. He's the second best player, clearly, at this point.
Yeah. But again, the way he finished out last season, you would have thought he would have made a bigger step. And just, that's been the whole program for years now. They cannot make that next step. And it's just, like, I don't know.
The development has just, what happened?
Like, I
know. What happened to the development?
It really wasn't that long ago that they beat Duke in the tournament. But even then, they were still struggling with that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. They just.
Who was the last Izzo-recruited player that was a top player in the nation? That's the problem.
I don't know.
That's the problem. Why has that happened?
Because I can always argue that, like, Cassius was.
Cassius or Miles Bridges? Is that the answer?
Probably. I would think so.
That's been 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other thing. You don't realize, like, it's already been that long. So.
What happened?
I don't know.
We haven't even mentioned the freshman class that was supposed to bolster what the veterans had.
Still haven't seen them.
Yeah, you look at freshman player stats.
I mean, we've seen them, but.
Yeah, Xavier Booker, 3 points and 2 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Fears, we know what happened with that.
Yep.
He would probably be a piece on this team, so that hurts.
Cohen Carr played four minutes.
Yeah, Cohen Carr, he is a super athlete, but he's just not great at the game of basketball yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame. Because I feel like Michigan State is just, they're similar to Michigan in the fact that they're talented enough to be better than this, but they just cannot, I don't know what it is. They can't get it done. And it's the inconsistency that I think is the most frustrating with this team.
Tyson Walker, 19 a game. Malik Hall, 11. A.J. Hoggard, 11. Jaden Akins, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then a complete fall off.
Yeah. But in all those averages, like
they're
I said,
shooting 68% from the free throw line. I did not I did not realize that as a team.
Especially
for 68%.
Especially for an Izzo team, because people always talk about, well, Izzo's always in there shooting free throws on his own after the games and or after practices or whatever. Like, he's so focused on free throws. Well, get your players focused on free throws, apparently, or something.
Yeah. Like, they have two players shooting over 80%, and both of those players shoot exactly 80%.
Yeah. This is why when I like to say to people that always talk about college basketball is, like, it's way better than the NBA, and people are like, well, I watch college basketball because they make their free throws. Then you must not be watching college basketball very much, because their free throw percentages are usually below the NBA's. Anyway.
Before we move on, quick stat from last night. Combined 6 points from the center position in that game.
Nice.
And 5 shots between all 4 big men.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been saying for the last...
What is Tom Izzo teaching
those
these
4 or 5 years that we've been talking about? That has been their biggest problem. They have no front court. What happened to, like, the Xavier Tillman type teams, the Jaren Jackson teams, Draymond Green even to a certain extent? Like, they used to have guys that would just kind of play like bully ball. And they don't have that anymore. Like, what happened? Matty Sissoko is not that guy.
That's why I would like to... Maybe we could get a Michigan State fan in here one day.
Especially, again, like, the biggest thing, too...
I want to know what happened to development in that program.
Like, the Big Ten has always somewhat revolved around guard play and big men. We got the guard play at Michigan State, but there's no big men, and we haven't in years. And that was, like, a thing that they were known for a while. So, nah, I don't know. It's frustrating.
Tough state of basketball in Michigan.
Even the type of guys, like, one of my favorite Michigan State players in the past was Brandon Dawson. Like, those kind of guys that are just good college players.
Dirty work, elite athlete.
Just tough, strong.
Cohen Carr could be that, but.
Right.
Yeah, Brandon Dawson was very built, though. He was, like, 230.
Yeah. But, like, they just don't have any of those guys. I don't know. They don't feel like a Michigan State team that we're used to.
I don't think they felt like it in a few years.
And this is still the same. This is the same coach, basically the same staff. Like, I don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know.
You think the D'Antonio problems are sneaking up?
Yeah, I think so.
Where nobody can tell him anything?
Yeah.
And he's going to start getting, like, angry soon?
100%. I just think, again, I keep talking about it. We've said it a couple of years now. It's like all these other college coaches keep getting out of the game. You would think that Izzo would start catching on that, like, maybe I should get out too while I should. Because he already doesn't love the way that the game has changed. Doesn't love the transfer portal. Doesn't love how NIL stuff works and all that. But if you don't like it, just get out. There's no ill will. Like, I'm not going to say that Coach Izzo is just a bad coach in general, but the times have changed. And I'm sure Michigan State fans will give you all the flowers in the world because you've been the longest tenured coach and you won a championship and stuff. So it's like, okay, you just call it quits. Let's move on. Let's try something different.
The best team in the state of Michigan is Oakland right now.
How do you feel about that?
Listen, it hurts that I have to give my college basketball enemy, Greg Campy, credit. They have figured out some rotations.
Mm-hmm.
He annoys me. Because if they don't make the tournament, then listen, we're back to being sworn enemies.
Yeah.
It's gone away a little bit.
Okay.
But he's going to do that same stuff when we get to March.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have this nice run in the regular season.
Did they just beat Cleveland State? Was that who they beat recently?
Let me see real quick. They just beat Cleveland State. They beat Robert Morris by 15 2 games ago, and then they beat Cleveland State 2 days later by 12.
Okay.
So they're in a groove right now. They're in a really nice groove. Blake Lampman is on an absolute heater.
Mm.
He's hitting like 4 threes a game for the past week and a half.
Okay.
He's been on fire. He's averaging 14 a game, shooting 40% from 3.
Oh, and it looks like a lot of
he's having his best season.
Looks like a lot of the normal Horizon teams are struggling right now. Wright State.
There's been some fall off.
Purdue, Fort Wayne, Northern Kentucky. Those are the teams that in the last couple of years have been really good.
And we can't forget to mention that team at the bottom.
Oh, jeez.
The winless Detroit Titans.
They were close against Robert Morris. They lost by like 7, I think, or something.
Talk about a program with no hope. They're like the DePaul of mid-major right now.
Yeah.
Who do you get? I have a few ideas of who they should get, but I'll...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it. I have no idea. Listen, who's...
It's partly biased because I know him closely, but I also know the connections he has in the Midwest and how he can coach Mike Covington at Oakland University.
Okay.
Could get it done at a lot of these schools, but yeah, that's just a sidebar right there.
Yeah, I saw somebody... I didn't realize that...
Really tough jobs.
Yeah.
Athletic departments are a mess.
I didn't know that Mercy was winless. And so I saw somebody put up a graphic the other day of the combined Detroit basketball teams. They put the Titans and the Pistons record combined, and it's like 6-67. And I was like, wait, don't the Pistons have 6 wins? And then that's when it hit me. And I was like, wow, they're winless. It's unfortunate.
Shouts out to Oakland basketball.
Yeah. 10-3 in the division. They got a chance.
15-9 overall. They have a chance. But like I said, you better do it.
Have they played Green Bay yet? Yes, they did.
Okay.
January 25th, they lost by 10. That's a little bit upsetting. But everybody else, they've kind of taken... Oh, they did beat Green Bay early, though, in January. So they've already played them twice.
And they got a game tomorrow at Northern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Should win, but who knows? The horizon can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those other crazy divisions. So interesting. It would be nice to see Oakland back. We haven't seen Oakland in a long, long, long time.
And there's a reason.
Was the last time
the
Kay Felder era?
No.
Really?
They never made the tournament with Kay Felder.
Isn't
listen,
that a shame?
You're going to get me going, Joey, if we do this.
Let's talk about it. Because listen, I remember specifically they didn't make it in the Kendrick Nunn
I watched three teams when I was in school there that should have made the tournament, not make the tournament.
Yeah.
And then the year after I graduated, Kendrick Nunn came in.
Mm-hmm.
They were even better. They won like 2 games in the tournament, still lost, couldn't make the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, in the they won 2 games, 2 or 3 in the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Still couldn't make it to the title.
Because I remember specifically they didn't make it to the big dance.
Yeah. Shouts out to Kendrick. Shouts out to Javon Cumberland. Shouts out to Max Hooper.
Yeah.
Those, all those guys.
Yeah, that was
a
good squad. Yeah, the Kay Felder era was also another one, though.
It was electric at the arena during those years. It was electric.
It seems like anytime they've had an era, they haven't made the dance.
Last time they made the tournament was 2009, I believe, when I was in middle school.
Hmm. Yeah. Was that the Travis Bader team, or is that another team that didn't make it?
That was Benson. So, I forgot his first name. He made the NBA.
Oh,
he got drafted.
Yeah.
That was their team.
I know who you're talking about. My mind keeps saying Cedric Benson, but that's...
Yeah, Bader. I don't think Bader ever made the tournament.
Yeah, I think he's another one.
Or maybe he was a freshman on that team.
Yeah.
Because, the year I went to Oakland was the fall of 2014, and Bader graduated the year before. So maybe he was a freshman on that 2009 team.
Okay. Yeah, because that's unfortunate. I'm never going to be able to find it, but... Oh, wait. Oakland men's basketball in the NCAA tournament. I'm trying to look up the actual stat of the last time that they did it. 2011?
Oh, 2011? Okay.
Is that correct?
Maybe. I guess it was Travis Bader.
So,
yeah.
Apparently, what I'm seeing, 2011, they lost to Texas. They lost to Texas in the second round. Wait, what? That doesn't make sense. I don't know what this is. I'm scared that it's wrong, but...
It might be 2011.
I don't know why it says second round, but...
They didn't win. They haven't won a game in the tournament.
No, it doesn't show that they won a game, so... but it's showing they beat Tech or they lost to Texas 81-85.
Maybe it says second round because it's not the first four. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And then before that, they got blown out by Pitt. Got blown out by North Carolina before in 2005.
You're just going through the history of Oakland's tournament games.
I mean, there's not that many, so it's...
True, Greg Campy.
Anyway.
True. They should have made it at least three times in the past decade.
Yeah, because they won... Back when they were in the Summit League, they won in 2010 and 2011. They won the Summit League. I didn't remember they won the Horizon League in 2017, though. Interesting.
They won the regular season...
Yeah, it's regular season.
They won the regular season multiple times. Mm-hmm. I think they won it twice with K when I was there.
Okay.
Because they would like run through the regular season and pretty much dominate for the most part.
Yeah.
In 2017, okay. 16 or 17, they beat Washington. They went to Washington to beat them on the road.
Yeah.
They almost beat, listen, I'm not.
So 2011 is correct. That was the last time they were in the tournament. They did lose to Texas. 81-85. So they had a close game against Texas. 2010, they got blown out by Pitt. They did win in 2005. They beat Alabama A&M. Only to go on to lose to North Carolina by 30. I still can't figure out what the 2011 team was, though.
Because doing an Oakland deep dive.
I know. I want to, though, because we keep forgetting to talk about them, though. So, like, I'm curious now what team that was. Because that was like when I really liked the watching the teams. No, I need the year before, please. 2010 to 2011. Go. And this is Travis Bader. He was a freshman? 2010-2011? I thought he was older than that. Drew Valentine was on that team. Reggie Hamilton.
I'm not saying anything because I don't feel like ranting about Greg Campy.
Keith Benson.
Keith Benson, yes. Keith Benson.
Corey Petros.
Shouts out to Corey Petros. He was a senior my freshman year, I'm pretty sure.
And he
averaged was, like 18 and 9.
Because he was a freshman on that team. It's actually... a pretty young team, actually, when they made it.
Oakland was Larry Wright, too, the whole time they were there.
So Larry Wright, Keith Benson, I think those are kind of the guys. Anyway, enough Oakland talk. What other college teams do you want to mention real quick at the moment? And then we'll talk about Super Bowl.
I got to go back in because I just looked out. Sorry
for the Oakland tangent, but.
It's all right. It's my alma mater. I can't get very mad outside of talking about you know who.
Mm-hmm.
But Dayton still winning. They just came off beating St. Joseph's 94-79. Dayron Holmes actually didn't have a big game in this one,
mm-hmm.
but they just had an overall really good game. They're 19-3 right now.
Yeah.
South Carolina's finally in the top 25 and in the top 15 for the first time in school history. They just came off of a win at home against Ole Miss.
Mm.
It was a sold-out crowd. They had a whiteout. It was like a really good atmosphere. I watched the whole game.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm love what Lamont Paris is doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Really always love the underdogs and the surprise teams in college basketball.
Right, as we do.
I think UConn might possibly win back-to-back championships.
I kind of keep telling myself.
Because they look like head and shoulders. When they're on, they look better than everybody.
Yeah. That's kind of the same thought that I've been having lately. Is like they just look really good. And I don't know if anybody else looks as good to be able to maybe do it.
Yeah, like their five-star freshman, Stephon Castle, was hurt to start the season mm-hmm. and kind of like took him time. He's starting to roll now.
Yeah.
Like he's like scoring like double digits easily at this. He had 21 against St. John's. It was like 4 of 7 from 3, barely missed a shot. They got everybody like working at a high level at this point.
Yeah.
Danny Hurley is building a monster again at UConn.
So then outside of them, I'll do this question and then we'll wrap it up. Right now, who would be like a tournament favorite from you would it be UConn, or maybe there's another team that you could think of that also might be a favorite?
Going back to back is hard because the tournament is also so unpredictable every year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yes, I would give UConn a good chance, but I think Kansas has a great chance.
Mm-hmm.
They're so well rounded, and now they have Johnny Furphy emerging.
Yeah.
The 6'8 kid from Australia, true freshman.
And he keeps getting better.
Yeah, he's a really good shooter. He has skill on offense, but he plays in his role because Bill Self doesn't let people just go crazy when they first come to Kansas.
Yeah.
And it took him like the first few weeks of the season to really get acclimated to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, once he's got comfortable, he's been playing great. And their mix of experience and youth is just, it's worked very well. And Hunter Dickinson has just done his job.
Right.
As the like a go-to big man. So I'd say Kansas is like my second most favored.
Okay. I was going to say my team right now, and I mentioned it to you earlier in the week, and it feels weird because they seem to be the team that usually blows it in the tournament, but I like Tennessee right now.
I do too.
If they can stay healthy.
If Dalton Connect is healthy, I think they're in every game.
Because even last year, they probably could have made a decent run if it was the Kai Ziegler that got hurt last year, right? Before the tournament. They probably could have made a better run last year than they did. Dalton Connect he's fun to watch.
He's almost unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like, and he gets 30 when he needs to.
Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of team, like, if they get hot in the tournament, there's a chance that they could do something. And that's the team that I like right now. Again, I'm still rolling into watching more college basketball, but that's who I like right now. Plus, I also like Purdue. Just because the fact the last time that a team lost as a one seed, Virginia came back, won it the next year. So something to keep an eye on, yeah. I would say.
And I'm going to give my first wild card tournament team that could make a run. And this is going to be like 90% favoritism, but they're back in the top 25 and they're strong again. Mm-hmm. The San Diego State Aztecs.
Okay. Every year, Malik in the
same. Every year.
Yeah.
But honestly, Jaden Ledee was a role player for San Diego State last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's averaging 20-8.
Yeah.
Shooting almost 40% from three. Like, he's taking his game to a whole nother level. They're playing just the same kind of scrappy basketball, not making many mistakes on offense,
mm-hmm.
getting good shots, and just I just love the way they play. I love the culture they've built.
Yeah.
And having Jaden Ledee break out like this, you always need that one guy
mm-hmm.
that can give you big performances in the tournament, and it seems like he's the guy now for San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
So, 90% favoritism, but I'm just going to give them the wild card tournament team, even though they made the championship last year for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My first wild card.
Yeah. My wild card would be another team that I mentioned earlier before we started. Would be probably New Mexico, just because they're another team. Like, they shoot the lights out. If they can get into the tournament, they got Jalen House, Jamal Mashburn Jr., Donovan Dent. Like, they all average.
They got
like
three 15. Guys averaging 15, yeah. which is really impressive.
Right. And they just shoot the ball well. So they're one of those teams that could be dangerous if they get going into the tournament. But again, Mountain West, you kind of mentioned it before. It's a tougher conference to get in. So you almost have to win your conference tournament. So something to watch out for. All right, we only have a couple minutes, so we have to mention the Super Bowl.
And this only deserves a couple minutes.
Are you rooting for a team in the Super Bowl?
No. Honestly, no.
Is it just because of the disappointment from the Lions?
That's a part of it, but I'm just not – I don't have a favorite player from either team.
Yeah.
Like, we all acknowledge Pat Mahomes' greatness.
We all acknowledge Christian McCaffrey's greatness as well.
Yeah. And I like both players,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, I don't know. Like, seeing Brock Purdy win it would be really fun.
Yeah.
Like, last pick in the draft last year, getting to the Super Bowl now and mm-hmm. beating Mahomes, that'd be a crazy story.
A lot of doubters.
Yeah. Like, I'm not paralleling this, making this parallel to the greatest of all time. But it would kind of be like Tom Brady beating the greatest show on turf in 2001.
Mm.
Even though it's the Rams were favored completely.
Yeah.
Most people thought the Patriots didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers have a serious
chance. I'm pretty sure they're favored right now.
Exactly. But just like player to player thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah.
Like going against Pat Mahomes at this point, even though Pat Mahomes has lost one Super Bowl and it was to Tom Brady, I don't know how to go against Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I kind of feel that too. Patrick Mahomes has left such a sour taste in my mouth this year after all like the complaining it feels like he's been doing lately. It just feels like he's been
the greater a player gets, the more this happens.
Yeah.
Like I think that's why a lot of people didn't like how Jordan handled stuff.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was the same way. He got really aggressive. Like I think this happens with all players that like reach a certain level that Maybe. Is kind of unattainable for most players.
Yeah.
They get more vocal with the refs because they know like what's going on at all times.
Mm-hmm.
They expect to get certain calls, so they talk more.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Right. And then I'm tired of Travis Kelce at this point. Like, I don't know. There's a persona against and the Chiefs, and that's kind of the annoying part. Whereas before, like, I liked the Chiefs just because they were so talented. Even though they were winning, I get tired of teams winning, but I liked the talent on the team. But I don't know. Like, I guess I lean towards the 49ers, but that also make me feel bad because then it's like, well, the Lions held their own against the Niners means they could have possibly won a Super Bowl, and, like, that just kind of hurts. So, yeah, I don't know. That's something we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are coming back because that happened
really good news for Lions.
Like right after
last
week. So Lions offseason looking good. So I can't be too mad at that. But
And when it comes to the Super Bowl, I'm more excited to eat some good food, have some drinks, and watch Usher perform at halftime. One of the greats.
Yeah. The other thing that stinks about Super Bowls nowadays is like the commercials get shown all week leading up to it.
They show previews of commercials.
So there's usually not as many.
And there also aren't any classic commercials really anymore.
So that's kind of the disappointing part. I really like the Paramount Plus commercial.
That one was really good.
I think that was
very well put together.
Yeah. I kind of hope that there's like a second part to it during the actual Super Bowl. Also, the last thing that I'll mention, I might be watching the Nickelodeon Super Bowl because I don't know if you saw, but they're going to play Sweet Victory.
They're an updated version.
Yeah, because they weren't allowed to last year. They only played like the first 5 seconds of it. So apparently they're going to play it this time around, the whole thing. So I might be tuning in to see that because that'd be exciting. That's a childhood thing. The rest of the game, probably not. But
I don't really care who the MVP is, to be honest.
Yeah.
Seeing one of them get slimed would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Another childhood thing, but yeah, who cares?
I like that the commentators are Nate Burleson, Patrick Starr, and I think...
And two kid commentators.
Yeah, like from Nickelodeon. Yeah. That's pretty great. So, we'll see. Anyway, this is Views from the Sidelines next week. We'll talk more college basketball again. I'm diving more and more into it, trying to get more smaller conference teams into my wheelhouse to start getting ready for that March Madness episode that it's coming up. It's coming right around the corner. And maybe we'll have more information about NBA stuff, trade deadline stuff. We'll recap the Super Bowl, I guess, if it was exciting. If it's not, we'll just fly over it. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next time.